that you can identify with, because they are in every aspect of life. There's not a farmer alive who could go half-heartedly at being a farmer. In order to be a farmer, one has to be dedicated. We know what dedication means, whether it's a relationship, a movement, a company, a principle, church, God. We know what it means to be dedicated. We know what it means to be so wrapped up in this particular principle or this movement or this person that they consume us. We're consumed by the desire to see it succeed. And we do it with all of our mind. There's not a farmer alive who could wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I really don't feel like going out there today. You know, I worked all day yesterday and I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I think I'll just grab a cup of coffee and relax for a while. Maybe even go back to bed for a couple more hours and get some rest. Maybe if I get up a little bit more refreshed, I can do this. There's not a farmer alive that would ever say that. If he did, he's done. I'm serious. If he ever said that, he's done. He will never farm. He'll be finished. And so it takes dedication. And it does, it is dedication because you got to do what is necessary. If you don't do what is necessary, you suffer for it. But not only do you suffer for it, your family suffers for it. Because a family is dedicated or is dependent upon that farm providing them the means by which they need to live. And to go out half-heartedly puts the family in danger. Our nation is infected with self, and it is crumbling under its weight. The church in its mission is no different. If we're consumed by ourselves, if we're consumed with ourselves, the church cannot stand. The church will not last. And it will diminish tremendously. In order to be a farmer, one must be patient. And I have to tell you, I don't do well with this. I don't do well with it. You can't be a farmer and not be patient. Because you cannot force the ground to produce quick. You cannot force the seed to produce quickly. It's out of your hands. So you might say the farm will teach you how to be patient. People oftentimes respond differently to the gospel. We are the ministers of reconciliation, and as we approach people with the message of Jesus Christ, you need to understand people respond differently. And we need to be patient. Instant success in matters of faith is not only shallow, but it will never be sustained. It just doesn't work that way. One must also be flexible. Farmers have to be flexible. Plans made at times must be changed because of circumstances. You plan the next day to plant your seed, but if it's pouring down rain, you don't plant. You plan the next day for harvest. It's ready to go. But you step outside and it's pouring down rain. You don't harvest. You have to be flexible. Planting the seed of the kingdom most often changes because people are different. People are different and take things differently. genuine love and concern go a long way for those people to Jesus Christ. It has been my experience at the times when the Bible just needed to be set aside and I needed to sit and just listen. There was hurting, there was difficulty, there was frustrations, there was anxieties, there was pain. And this is mine to sit and listen. And when we approach people, we need to approach them with a listening ear. One must also be themselves. All of us are different. You know, I remember when we used to have all kinds of ways in order to bring people to Jesus Christ. And so we went through the classes. And we continued to go through the classes. There came a time when you had to get out there and do it. And people say, well, I just don't know what to say. You do know what to say. What you say is what God has done for you in your life. That's what you say. That's what you tell people. And so we're different. Even farmers do not sow the same, even though they're sowing the same crop. Good, whoa, we had it was just packed with wheat farmers, and still has a lot of wheat farmers out there. And my brother-in-law used to be the farmer for this particular rancher. And we'd be driving from one field to the next. And he would look at a field and he'd say, that field belongs to so-and-so. That field belongs to so-and-so. That field belongs to so-and-so. Well, Raymond, how do you know this? Who that belongs to? Look how they farmed it. Look how they planted it. Farmers are all planted differently, even though they're planting the same crop. I don't know how you talk to people about Jesus Christ. And here's the next thing. I don't care. How? I care about one thing. Do it. Kind of like that Nike t-shirt, you know? They had this saying here for a long time. They're still out on it. Just do it. Just do it. You received the ministry of reconciliation when you became a member, when you became a part of God's family. And so it's time to just do it. Because people do want to know about Jesus Christ. And don't be concerned about what you say. Let God work in you and it'll all work out. The sower goes forth with seed. We've reached a point in our history, and Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, that the seed is the Word of God. He identified it. The seed is the Word of God. That's what we're planting. But we've reached a point in history where truth has become subjective. It's whatever I believe to be true is truth. Now, if you've been open to the headlines lately, you know a woman by the name of Rachel Dolezal. I don't know if I pronounced her name right. But she lives in Spokane, Washington, and she's a white woman who has said that she is a black woman. And her parents says, no, she's not black. She's white. She's European. Well, this debate's been going on now about whether or not she's white or whether she's black. And you look at it and you say, this is simple. She's black. She's white. She's white. But she's the head of the NAACP, and the NAACP says it doesn't matter what her color is, it's how she feels inside. Boy, has that not been going around lately. You seen probably may have seen the cover of Vanity Fair. I love what one fellow said. He said the title of that magazine tells you something. Vanity. So you've got this person who feels like a woman in a man's body, and you've got this woman who's white says she's black. You understand why we're confused here? The problem that you're facing sometimes when you sit down and try to talk to someone about truth, a truth that is objective, a truth that is solid, a truth that is a truth no matter what you think about it. It's still truth. And in order for God's people, God's church, to have a revival, we need to have the word preached. There has never been a revival, a religious revival, whether it be in Europe, United States, or wherever. It has never happened until first the word of God is preached. We give promises that God will never fulfill, and we wonder why people are suspect. The seed of the kingdom is living. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Peter calls it the living word of God. There is life in all seeds. All seeds have life in them. And there is life in God's word. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's not a dead letter. But that life cannot produce, or that seed cannot produce, if it is not sown. And so we take the word of God with us. That's what we need to take with us. The seed of kingdom is powerful. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Sowing the living and powerful word is all that is necessary. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. God says, where the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without withering, without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding the matter for which I have sent it. When people receive the word of God, it changes everything. The seed of the kingdom is pure. It was Satan who first contaminated the seed. Genesis chapter 3. And it's been going on ever since. We take the simple truth of God and mix it with human ideas and thinking, and it becomes contaminated because we want to make it palatable. We don't want to be offensive. We don't want, and frankly, I don't want to be offensive to anybody. But on the other hand, if we've got to water the Word of God down in order to keep from being offensive, we better just be offensive. We'll let God deal with it. We'll let God deal with the feelings and the hurts and the pains and everything else that goes with understanding what the Word of God is. When you read the prophets never mention words. When you read what Jesus said, Jesus never mentioned words. And it never at any time did Jesus soften the truth just to draw a crowd. That wasn't going to work. The seed of the kingdom is consistent. Peter would say in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, the abiding word of God. Truth does not change with culture. Our culture has been changing. And it will continue to change. But isn't it interesting that the Word of God that's been given for over 2,000 years is still relevant. Still speaks. Still truth. And it's unchanging. Truth does not change to fit circumstances. Now this has been a real problem for us sometimes. You know, how's this Word of God going to fit my particular circumstances? No. How is your circumstances going to fit the Word of God? That's where that comes from. We need to return to the scriptures, or God will not bless us. The sower sows seeds in the soil. You have the sower, seed, and the soil. Jesus gives us some clear insights into the meaning of the soils. And he talks about the hard soil in verse 12. It is this particular soil that God, that Satan will not allow the seed to remain. And it's the fact that people are hardened to truth. Pharisees were hardened to truth. Truth was standing in front of the Pharisees. Jesus performed miracles in front of the Pharisees. Still, their hardened heart would not allow them to embrace the truth of who Jesus is and was. And people in our world just simply are not interested at times. And Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, that people like that will be given a strong delusion by God so that they might believe that which is not true. And I realize that sometimes that's a little hard for us to get a hold of. But there does come a time when God says, you know what, you've had enough opportunities. And you're not going to change. There is the shallow soil, verse 13. This soil represents those who have an interest, but only if it goes well for them. Jesus said when temptation comes, they fall away. They quit, in other words.
Too many of these take place in my own life.
And I'm surprised at how little it takes to turn people away from God. I'm going to need to say something here. I want to illustrate the absurdity with absurdity. I've had people tell me when they've walked away from the church, I want you to know I'm not going to be going to church anymore, but I've not left God. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that the church is the body of Christ. He says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, that Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. For someone to say that I'm walking away from the church, but I'm not walking away from God, is tantamount to my right arm, which does the majority of the work for my whole body, because I'm right-handed. And the right hand and the right arm says, you know what, I've had enough of this. I've done all the work. And I continue to do all the work. Nobody says thank you. Nobody seems to care whether or not my arm is hurting. But it does, by the way. If the arm is hurting, the body is hurting. And so I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut myself off from the body. But I want the head to continue providing me with all that's necessary for me to stay alive. Now you say, well, that's pretty absurd. That's not any more absurd for someone to say, I'm leaving the church, I want nothing to do with the church anymore, but I want God to continue to bless me and take me into heaven when I die. Now let me be very clear. The purchase price of the church is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says. Do you think for one second you could walk away from the church and God not care? When it took the death of Jesus to bring it into existence? Can we really be that? Well, we'd be what? Can we really be that stupid? Can we be that ignorant? That we could treat the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, with such contempt? And expect God to give all blessings? You don't walk away from the church without walking away from God at the same time. That's just the way it is. And that's what happens when we leave the body of Christ. We have the crowded soil in verse 14. And this is the one where Jesus has much to say about it. Look at what he says. It's crowded with worries, crowded with riches, crowded with pleasures of this life. The seed is planted in this soil. And the weeds of worries and riches and pleasures of this life choke it out. Rest assured, there has not been one person who has left the church who did not leave for one of those three reasons. The Word of God has no room to grow in a person who has these kind of difficulties in their life. And then there's the good soil. All that would hinder its growth has been removed. Becoming a child of God means there's a radical change that takes place. The mind, the behavior, interest, loyalty, pursuits, all of those things. And when God's Word enters our hearts, we become productive citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But it only takes place when the Word of God enters our hearts. It's got to find its way in. And I promise you, once it does, your life will be different. So my question to you this morning, are you a minister of reconciliation? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom? You know, we have a hymn, by the way, come from this. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? All along, lies put away. Let me encourage you, just do what you do and put a word in for God. And let God be concerned about the fruit from your planting of the seed. You allow God to work in you, and that's all God asks for you to do. You're the sower. If you've been baptized into Christ, you're the sower. You have the seed, Word of God. And there are billions of hearts out there, soil, waiting for you to plant the seed. I don't know what your need is this morning, and I pray you come and make it known when you get it.